6 and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Breaking news from New York City, where Mayor Adams has just told CBS News the gunman who killed four people at a Park Avenue office building was targeting the National Football League.
From our preliminary investigation, he took the wrong elevator bank up to the NFL headquarters. Instead, it took him to Rudin Management.
The NFL says a league employee was injured among the four who died, a city police officer. Officials say the suspect, Shane Tamura, shot and killed himself. The mayor says investigators found a rambling note on his body.
The note alluded to that he felt he had CTE, a known brain injury for those who participate in contact sports. He appeared to have blamed the NFL for his injury.
The AP says Tamura indicated he wanted his brain studied after he died. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Lisa Hale, in for Melissa Kay. Last week, the big story was that Governor Tony Evers is not running for a third term, and people started lining up to join the race. But there's one big name that will not be on the ballot for the primaries. Savannah Tomei Olson has that story.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez has launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley says he plans to run, too. That's on the Democratic side. When it comes to Republicans, Trump-aligned businessman Bill Berrien is running, as is Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. Not long after Evers' announcement, former Governor Scott Walker started posting some cryptic tweets showing what looks to be an AI-generated Make Wisconsin Great Again hat. It had 45-47 on the side. President Donald Trump is the 45th and 47th president, and coincidentally, if he were elected again, Scott Walker would be Wisconsin's 45th and 47th governor. He even posted a long list of what he thinks the next governor's priorities should be. All of this implied he may be interested in running for a non-consecutive third term. And then over the weekend, he posted this message.
I'm not going to be a candidate for governor in 2026. In fact, I'm going to continue my work as president of Young America's Foundation.
The field of candidates is expected to get bigger before it narrows with primaries next year. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Republican state lawmakers have introduced a bill seeking to cap tuition increases at the universities of Wisconsin. The public university system recently approved a 5% increase in tuition for next year, the third year in a row that tuition has increased. The proposed legislation would cap future tuition increases to no higher than the rate of inflation. It's the third time in recent years that Republican lawmakers have attempted to cap the tuition. Tuition and fees make up over half of the system's yearly revenue. For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The Brewers back in first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for today, still warm and muggy with highs in the mid-80s and a slight storm chance. Maybe a storm tonight, mostly cloudy, lows low 60s. Still some rain possible into tomorrow, high upper 70s. Currently, it's 66.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. but in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Jay, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat joining us tomorrow after 9:35 to break down all Wisconsin news. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
One happy camper this morning at 8:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 29th, might have something to do with the Brewers beating up on the Cubs. Did not look like it during the first inning last night. Jacob Mizorowski had a terrible start. Eight batters, 40 pitches, three runs with hardly anything getting out of the infield. And then he settled down, and the Brewers' bats came to life. Brewers win 8-4. Game two is tonight. Game three is tomorrow afternoon. But for now, your first place Milwaukee Brewers are atop alone the Central Division. And again, game two tonight, coverage begins at 6:05 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Chad Holmes will be joining us in a sec from 98.9 WXEO in Wausau. One thing I noticed, Brittany, looking at the TV coverage of the game last night and from my being at American Family Field on Friday when it was another hot and steamy day, is, you know, the roof is only partially open, which is to kind of not have the sun completely baked down. But if you closed it all the way, then you'd be in a roasting pan. And there's just, you know, this time of year, there's no way to avoid the heat. Just go get some ice cream or a cold frosty beverage or whatever, because we're in the dog days of summer. At least
we sure are.
At least for one more day.
Well, first of all, I'm so excited that they beat the Chicago Cubs. I'm from Chicago. I hate them with a passion. So I'm just so excited to hear that news. And then also maybe some ice. A cup of ice. I was doing that at Oshkosh, putting ice on the back of my neck, putting it, you know, on my arm, my leg, wherever, just to help cool me down. Mm-hmm. So while you're in line for a brew, grab a cup of ice too.
Hey, there you go. All right. Yeah. Look at that. You get a great forecast and tips, spectator tips from Brittany, who's going to tell us where the forecast is today as the rain moves out of the southeastern part of the state right now.
Sure does. Kick that on out of here. Let the sun shine, more and more sunshine throughout the day today. Comfortable temperatures further up north, not so comfortable further down south. We are still battling dew points, muggy conditions, high heat here today. Temperatures rising to about the low to mid 80s far north, the low to mid 90s far south. Plus you slap the humidity on top of that. Going to be feeling like the mid to upper 90s for a lot of us in the southern part of the state today. So sunshine becoming abundant. A few spotty sprinkles or small brief showers are possible this afternoon. I think they're going to stay more towards the Green Bay area, but pretty much by the lake is your best chances for those to pop up later on this afternoon, early evening. No big deal with that. But tomorrow, we've got another low-pressure system moving through. It is going to bring some more widespread, steadier rainfall, probably overnight far west, early tomorrow morning for the southern parts of the state. And that'll continue for the southern half tomorrow throughout the day. Overcast. All of us, but much, much more cooler, refreshing, highs in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow. And that stays the case for the rest of the week as a high pressure starts to build in. It kicks the clouds on out of here and we've got nothing but a beautiful summer day on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even into Sunday. It's going to be amazing.
The top is coming off the Jeep Wrangler, yes. And it is going to be just a gorgeous couple of days of running those errands. Brittany, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. All right.
Have a good day.
You have a great day as well. Let's check in with Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO, see what he's following up in that area, because you're still in your, as we learned from Jimmy Cuska yesterday, this is, I don't think this is an official title, but this is like the dead week in high school sports where there's not practices and things like that. So the kids get a break. The coaches get a break. There's a lot of vacations going on. It would seem to me we should be sending you away to like another poker tournament someplace, but you got that out of your system, right?
Yeah, no, it's it is the down week. It's actually a perfect week here in the Wausau area because everybody's heading off to the Wisconsin Valley Fair starting today. So it's like fair week, and then next week football practice begins, and you can start to make the real countdown to the kickoff, which is not too far away.
No, not a bit. And again, with the heat finally moving on, Joe and Superior on the text line listening on WBZH in Hayward says comfortably cooler here by Lake Superior this morning. And that is very welcome because again, this time of year, they don't have the 2-a-day football practices anymore, right?
I've heard some that have a morning practice and then an evening practice. It's not, split it up and maybe have a couple of shorter get togethers. It depends on the schools.
Okay. All right. Tell us a little bit about what you've had for some of the local segments up there for, you know, guests or topics.
Oh, I mean, it's been really interesting. One of the exciting things that we have coming up here is that we just hired a new news person. And that's going to really, I think, help in terms of the coverage that we have here in Wausau. We had actually, it was really nice. About a week and a half ago, our network news director, Shali Pittman, came up and we did some interviews and we found a wonderful young woman who has done some work down in Illinois at the state capitol there and really knows her way around with the government officials. And obviously, as you well know, that here in Wausau, you'll never run out of interesting stories when it comes to following area government. So she'll be starting up in August, a little bit later in August. So that is something we've been talking about that we're really going to try to we're using a poker term, double down in terms of our local coverage here in the Wausau area. So very, very excited about that.
Well, essentially it's a matter of, you know, how should we say this? Keeping them honest, you know, with the reduction in local news coverage around the country, you know, one of the offshoots of that, and I'm not casting aspersions in Wausau specifically, but with fewer local reporters covering these city council meetings, school board meetings, county board meetings, things like that, there's been a little bit more, I guess, shall we say, mischief, you know, across the country as people realize there aren't as many watchdogs out there as there used to be. And it's why even as you see a reduction in newspapers around the area, you see, thankfully, sites like, you know, Civic Media springing up North News, the Wausau Pilot and Review as an independent, you know, non-corporate owned source of covering these places. Because again, as much as we'd love for politics, you know, local politics to just be our friends and neighbors and everything's on the up and up, you and I have seen enough from local government over the years to know that there still better be some watchdogs in the room when these things are going on.
Yes, absolutely. And frankly, the lines are getting harder to see.
Yes.
I'm going to give an example. I may regret it in a moment where we're going, but yesterday word came down that the morning host of the conservative talker here in Wausau, WSAU, is leaving. Meg Ellefson, who's been the voice of conservative politics in this area for a number of years, apparently leaving for some non-political entity. I have no idea what that means.
Okay.
But it's not going to change what is happening over there because literally before the ink was dry on that news release, Chris Conley, a gentleman I've talked about a little bit here on this radio station over the times, he has decided that it reminds me a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you heard this, that the Colorado Rockies, who are in route to becoming the worst Major League Baseball team in the history of baseball, had an opening for team president. And after a deep dive into all the people that could come in and perhaps turn around what the Rockies are, they said, well, hey, the son of the owner's here, so we're going to make him the new the new leader. And and I thought of that when I saw this morning that Chris decided that he's going to move into the Meg Ellefson seat and continue to bring the truth to Central Wisconsin that that I'm so against, according to them.
Well, yeah, right.
I'm off to a wonderful start this morning, I must say.
Look, I don't have all the particulars in front of me, but I know that Meg Ellefson, from what I've seen online, has been unhappy with some of the directions that Republicans are taking either at the state and or the county levels in other parts of Wisconsin. We've talked about the controversy in Northeast Wisconsin about, people who have, perhaps checkered legal pasts who are in, positions, who have said things that would normally not give you a leadership position in a local political party. And yet, when anybody, conservative or Republican, dares to criticize, they are suddenly, the avalanche of trolls just rains down upon them. And don't get me wrong, I'm not shedding a tear necessarily when conservatives who have been flamethrowers themselves, have the weapon returned on them. But that doesn't necessarily make it right, especially when the thing that they're reacting to is a genuine grievance. But the MAGA folks, they don't want to hear anything of it. They're willing to, what did they always refer to it as? The leopards eating their faces party. I didn't realize a leopard would eat my face. Well, that's what leopards do.
Well, I'm going to push back on any idea that Meg is some sort of victim in this. I had a candidate for the state assembly, a Republican in the primary, who came on with me in the morning because Meg would not allow him to go on with her because she had her favorite candidate. I think that's wrong. Our motto here is our doors are open to anybody who is a candidate or somebody that is a newsmaker or somebody that's in government. The idea of picking and choosing who you're going to let the voice go out there, and then the man who's taken over this seat, Chris Conley, after getting criticism about this, he's a program director over there as well, basically said, well, Meg's number one, so we got a popular show, so whoever we want on the air, that's good enough for me. We live in this world right now that there's so many moving parts to it. I just think that each and every day we should try to hear the most voices and the most truthful voices, mm-hmm. and try to get the best information in terms of having the true battle of ideas, which I think is one of the foundations of democracy.
Yeah, and that is exactly the role that somebody like you should be playing in the Wausau area. No different than what Todd Alba is doing, on his program from 2 to 4, where he had Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on yesterday. He talked to Josh Shulman, a Republican candidate for governor, when he was here in Chippewa Falls at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. And he's been very explicit in saying, look, I'll talk to anybody. I'll talk to any candidate here. You'll get a fair round of questioning and be able to make your case. I have definitely said that in terms of, primaries, especially among Democrats, to say, look, we're not going to, especially with the governor's race, we're not going to pick and choose here. We want every candidate to come on and make their case. Now, my being a former Democratic legislator, I'm not really expecting any Republican candidates to bang down my door and get on the show, but I'd be willing to talk to them and see if we can't, work out an appearance. But
it's fun. It's fun when a Republican sits across the way. I like that.
Well, yeah, and that's again,
battle ideas. I think that is exactly what we have to do, and not just on the radio, but I think within our communities, to be able to listen to the other side, and to sometimes it will reinforce what we believe, and all the times it will give us something to think about.
And you can't have things reinforced if they're not challenged now and then.
Exactly.
Because, it might reinforce it. It might not. It might actually get you thinking that, hey, I never thought of something that way before. And I might have an example in the coming day or two about that. I'm going to talk in the next segment for folks. A lot of folks are going to have a local breakaway for local news. Those who come back and chat with me, I'm going to talk about how AI has figured out a lot of things. AI has not yet figured out cribbage. Do you play?
I do not.
Okay, so you're poker. We're going to talk sometime down the road about AI and poker. We'll talk about AI and cribbage coming up next. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. As mentioned, the aforementioned local update coming up next for many of you across the Civic Media Radio Network, and then back here with Dan Schaefer in less than 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlum. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000-plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net. www.northernpines.net.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits,
we can't read a poker face,
deep cuts, and some authentic cringe.
This is how you remind.
From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this July 28th, 2025, every host, James, here. We're joined right now by Miss Czechoslovakia's own Maya Hernandez. Maya, good to have you with us.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
appreciate you being here with us, Maya. And first off, right out the gate, want to say congratulations. This is awesome. I can't wait to talk more about this festival and this pageant with you. How has your summer been?
My summer's been really good. I'm getting ready to go to college soon here. I had just recently taken a trip to Spain as well for a week. So I've been a little bit busy since being crowned. I've been able to make it to some events, so I'm really glad.
That's kind of wild, actually. I don't know that much about Spain. I've been doing a little more homework recently and everything. It's just beautiful over there. I feel like there's so much I missed out that I haven't read about before. It's nice.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone should go.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah. We could talk for hours about that, I'm sure. But let's go ahead and focus in, because not only do we have you here with us to talk about this, but I think we have an opportunity to talk about something that maybe not everybody knows about. Now, you've joined us before. We've talked about other pageants that are certainly popular in our area and that. But let's dive into this one first. And real quick, the Miss Czechoslovakia U.S. pageant. So I mentioned that, or we've talked about this, and I think other people have noticed that this is a festival and a pageant. So this is a fun festival. Let's talk on that real quick, the festival. Where does it take place, and when is it going on?
The festival takes place in Phillips, Wisconsin, June 21st through the 22nd of this year. That's when the dates were this year.
Yeah.
And it's a two-day event. And there's vendors and food, kolache eating contests going on. Cool. We have live music during the day when the pageant isn't going on. And we have dancers as well that perform for the audience in front of us. And
a real celebration of the cultures, really embracing a really a chance to kind of bring awareness and attention along with information and knowledge a lot, and just it looks like so much fun. I'm just over the weekend we're doing a little homework for the interview and watching some of the pageantry and some of the cool stuff that's a part of this. It looks like a blast.
Yeah, it really is. And everyone, they always say, because it takes place in Phillips, Wisconsin, which is a pretty small town, they say during that weekend, everyone is Czech and Slovak.
Yes.
Because everybody celebrates the Czech and Slovak heritage, because that's what we're there for, whether it's through dancing, the singing, or eating the food.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I do. Never want to skip past the food. Great food. One of the, and this is something too where everybody, if you weren't able to attend this year's, I say make plans for next year. Now is a perfect time to start doing that and making those plans and be a part of this event. While the event itself is such a fun, good time, I also wanted to touch on the pageant, of course, which you were just recently crowned. Would you mind if we rewind a little bit first? How did you hear about this? How did you become a part of it?
So how I heard about this pageant is ever since I was a little girl, I was competing in the Little Sister program, which is now the Little Sibling program. And I would go up there every year and I would be paired with an older sister, which would be me now. Mm-hmm. And I would go out there, have fun, just kind of tag along with my older sister all day. So I was doing that for a few years. So that is the Little Siblings program. And then from ages 13 to 17, there is the Queen's Royal Court. I was never part of the Queen's Royal Court. But now that I was 17, because last year I was Miss Czech Slovak Wisconsin State Princess, first princess. I had the opportunity to choose between whether being on the court or being a contestant. So I chose contestant, and that's when I was crowned princess at 17. Mm-hmm. And now coming back here, I tried out again. And now I am queen, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, yeah. And again, congratulations to you on it. And thank you for breaking that down for us. So as far as the competition goes, how did that feel? How did that go? What is involved in that?
It was great. There are four phases of competition. There's a 10-minute private interview with the judges, and then you have Croy modeling, and then you have three onstage questions. They are mostly altered to you because they do look at your application, and you will pull from a fishbowl, and they'll read it out to you, and then you answer the question.
Wow, that seems a little different than normally noble pageants. Wow, interesting.
Because what we wear is called Croy. So the Croy has to be altered to you in the country that your region comes from. So I come from the Trenčín region of Czechoslovakia or Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Sure. Yeah.
And they asked me, like, maybe where did I get my Croy, or what does the Croy mean to you? Have you done anything to alter the Croy in your own way? Different questions along the lines. It can be almost anything. So that's one of the bigger questions, because they want to know, like, what do you know about your culture and your heritage?
Yeah, you know, I think especially, and I've brought this up even with you before, but especially with our local pageants and stuff, as somebody growing up, I didn't know, you know, anything really about pageants or that much. And I think, like a lot of people out there, I assumed, you know, that, well, it comes down to this or it comes down to that when it comes to these things or something. And each one of them are certainly different. But when it comes to, like, the promoting of young people or their helping of young people and stuff, that's a consistent thing throughout pageants. And it's really cool to hear that about this one in particular, where even if you've done your homework, chances are you're listening to another contestant. You might learn something about a different region or a different part of the culture, which is kind of a great way of teaching without teaching, you know, and really sharing of information without overly sharing it or something. That part is really cool. I love the questionnaire part of this. You're probably even used to the one question
Yes.
and prepping for that. Was it more stressful or more fun that way?
I will be 100% honest. It is a little more stressful because we have one Croy question. We have one question that's altered from our application that we bring to them? And then the last question is a history question about the Czech Republic and Slovakia. So one of the questions would be, when did the Velvet Divorce happen?
Right. Wow.
And I have to memorize. They do help us in the beginning. Our pageant director, she helps us with the questions, saying like, these are the questions that probably will be asked and that you should probably study. So
thankful for that.
Yeah.
Shout out to all them. They appreciate all the help with those.
Yes.
Really cool. So with all of that said, I imagine, you know, there are plenty of...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Lisa Hale, in for Melissa Kay. Gas prices are continuing to fall in Wisconsin, but are going up slightly nationally. In Wisconsin, it will cost you an average of $2.88 a gallon for gas, a decrease of 4.1 cents per gallon from last week. Nationally, the price has risen almost a cent to $3.10 a gallon. Patrick DeHaan, the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said oil prices are hovering around the $65 a barrel range, and gas demand is easing up as the summer wanes. He believes we'll continue to see a decline as we approach Labor Day, as long as there's no hurricane activity to disrupt supply. In Green Bay, the average price for a gallon of gas is $2.82. In Appleton and Oshkosh, it's $2.80. The United States Department of Justice is suing a Green Bay area landlord alleging he and his business violated the Fair Housing Act by discriminating against tenants based on sex. The civil complaint filed against David Jones and D. Jones Properties, LLC, alleges that he engaged in severe, pervasive, and unwelcome sexual harassment of a female tenant, making unwelcome sexual comments, grabbing the tenant without her consent, and entering the tenant's home without her permission. Finally, taking adverse housing-related actions against the tenant when she asserted her rights under the FHA. Jones is presumed innocent until proven guilty. When Governor Tony Evers announced that he would not run for a third term, one of the people mentioned as a possible on the Democratic primary ticket was Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. On Monday, she announced that she will not run to continue as Secretary of State and will not run for governor. Instead, she'll consider a run for the second highest office, Lieutenant Governor. For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Lisa Hale.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its four seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a chance of scattered thunderstorms today, otherwise partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. An isolated thunderstorm or two tonight will drop down into the 60s tomorrow. An isolated thunderstorm or two possible with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 68.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special live show from Six Springs Farm in southwest Wisconsin as we talk to NFL and Badger Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with Brady Ewing as my guest co-host.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Would love for you to be a subscriber to our newsletters, including our weekend one that deals with politics, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Subscribe at upnorthnewswi.com. It includes a question of the week, which this week is about cryptocurrency and state regulations. Cryptocurrency, is it the future? Is it a fad? Is it a scam? Is it too soon to tell? What are your thoughts on that? Plus all the other political news. I think we know what the big story was in Wisconsin politics last week, and we know the big story going forward, but we keep tabs on all of it in our Sunday morning newsletter, as well as a little thing called the Recombobulation Area that Dan Schaefer puts together. You can sign up for that over at therecombobulationarea.news. Correct, Dan Schaefer?
I think I've got, you got it. That's got the it. One. That's where I've you got, can find me.
I've got it up on screen there, and I have a space, and there should not be a space there between the and recombobulation, correct? It's all one word?
Correct. All one word.
Therecombobulationarea.news. There we go. So
what do you want to talk about today, Pat?
Yeah, you've heard this one already a few times, but I'm gonna do it again. So, Dan, who are you taking down next? do you have something about Justice Rebecca Bradley in the works by chance that you might be writing about, or no?
You know, maybe I should. Maybe I should write something. You know, I wrote something about Robin Voss last fall, and now it needs to be his last time as Assembly Speaker. That one didn't take, unfortunately. Okay. But, we'll keep at it. You know, my batting average is improving here, so we'll see.
The thing is, in both cases, you laid out very specific and credible reasons, you know, why a decision should go one way or the other. And obviously, Governor Evers made the decision that he made. He is now saying that, you know, he really didn't make up his mind until pretty close to the actual decision day. And that really just underscores something we've talked about previously here. And that is how hard it is for any politician, much less one who's won 5 statewide elections and has never lost, to say, you know, let's go out on top. Going out on top is the hardest thing to do in politics.
Absolutely. I think it is a really bold and in many ways selfless decision that the governor has made here not to seek a third term. And I think it is, you're right. It's really it's tough for people to step away, especially somebody like Evers, who is popular in the state. It's not a Biden comparison here, not only because the Evers is about a decade younger than Joe Biden, but because he is popular and Joe Biden was not. And I think, to be somebody who has won 5 statewide elections, he's undefeated in statewide elections. That's a pretty remarkable thing in a state as closely divided as Wisconsin. But I think, it's time to pass the torch. I think running for a third term is a different ask of voters than it is asking just for re-election. And I think for so many reasons, the time is right now. I think 2026 is shaping up for an advantageous year for Democrats. I think there is a strong bench of candidates. We can talk about a couple who have already announced. And I think, there is real risk involved with running for re-election in your mid-70s and being governor through your late 70s. And I think that Evers is making the right decision, as he so often has as governor. He is making the right decision and doing what's best for the state. He always talks about doing what's right for Wisconsin. And I absolutely believe that that is what he's doing here in not seeking re-election.
Yeah, and look, there isn't a fair comparison to former President Joe Biden, except in that one way, and that is all Evers has to do is stumble one time, you know, figuratively or literally, and we get to spend the next, you know, 13, 14 months with that as a topic. So it's not fair to the governor, but it does take that off the table where we now just talk about who's next. So let's talk about who's next, because the article that I'm going to put up on our website later this morning, upnorthnewswi.com, I'm putting the finishing touches on it. And I'm up to 19 names listed in this thing right now. Some of them admittedly long shots. And
yeah.
I'm looking for one more to see if I can make it around 20. So I'm going to ask you as well to give me a potentially surprising name of somebody who might be thinking about running for governor. But let's start at the very top from a Democratic standpoint, and that would be the Lieutenant Governor, Sarah Rodriguez, who will be joining the show here Friday morning in our 8 a.m. hour. Being first out of the gate, and again, I just said in a previous segment here, we're not going to do an endorsement here. We're going to have every candidate on from all these races, 3rd Congressional District, legislative races. Everybody come on and make your case. So this is not an endorsement of Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. But that introductory video is definitely one of the best I've ever seen.
It was a really strong video. It told her personal story, talked about her background, talked about her family, talked about her career. She has had, you know, before getting into politics, her career was largely in the healthcare field. She was a nurse for a time, and it was funny and it was engaging. I think it was a really, really strong, you know, first out of the gate introductory video that was, I guess, maybe posted a little bit early before Tony Evers made that announcement, which I do find amusing because it does seem like the governor's office pushed this announcement to react to some media coverage that was beginning to ramp up in the week prior to the announcement.
Yeah, I mean, it really was, for folks that haven't seen it, it's a classic example of what's called the walk and talk video. And she's just talking, you know, directly to camera about her career and what would make her a good governor in her view. Then there's the half announcement. I always say there's 1.5 Democrats in because Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley announced that he was going to announce and is holding. Yes. And people always go, well, what are you in or are you out? Because it does trigger something when you fill out a certain piece of paper with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You know, now you can start fundraising, but you can't start fundraising without signing that particular piece of paper. So that's kind of the background behind the scenes. But David Crawley wouldn't have put out the statement that he did if he wasn't thinking very seriously. Yeah, I'm in here too.
Yeah, no surprise whatsoever to me. Crawley is somebody whose career I've covered pretty closely, being here in the city of Milwaukee. You know, I actually endorsed Crawley for county executive at the recombobulation area in the spring of 2020. I endorsed him over Chris Larson and then county board chair Theo Lipscomb. I think he is an absolute rising star in the party. He actually first told me in an interview at the recombobulation area in December 2023 that if Evers were not going to run again, that he would be interested in running for governor. He has experience as a state assembly representative, so he knows Madison. He's also run the largest county in the state as the Milwaukee County Executive for the past 5 years now. And I think he's done a lot of really good, smart, under the radar things in Milwaukee County that has really cleaned up the county in a lot of ways and positioned it well to go into the future. My question with David Crawley and his candidacy is how well known is he outside of the Milwaukee market? Because I think when I ask people about this list of candidates in and around Milwaukee and I mentioned Crawley, they're like, oh, he's a great candidate. Young guy, rising star, doing great things at the county. When I mention Crawley's name outside of Milwaukee, it's a little bit more David who? Mm-hmm. So I think the name ID challenge for him, you know, outside of the Milwaukee market, you know, reaching voters in the Fox Valley and Green Bay, reaching voters in Western Wisconsin, the Northwoods, whatever it might be. But, you know, I actually did a live podcast with him a couple of years ago as well. And before he came up on stage to do the interview with me, he stopped at every single table in that coffee house to introduce himself personally to every single person. So his retail politics are like an A-plus level. So I'm really interested to see, you know, as he gets out there and as he starts campaigning, how people are going to respond to him and his message.
Let's set aside Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski for a sec, just because she's indicated she's not interested in running for governor, but may declare for lieutenant governor. So let's move to State Attorney General Josh Call, who often rises to the top of lists. And I don't know how much of that is because of Josh Call or how much of it is the Jim Doyle path that we've seen a state attorney general rise to become governor previously. But regardless, his name is going to continue coming up until he takes it off.
Well, you win two statewide races in Wisconsin, your name gets to be on the list for the next opening for a statewide race. And I think, you know, I do think it's even possible that if Josh Call gets into the race, which I absolutely expect him to do, that he would start it at probably as the front runner. I don't know if it would be like an overwhelming front runner necessarily, but I do think, you know, you win two statewide races. He's been doing the job of the attorney general, so people see him, has probably a little bit more name recognition than many of the other candidates on the list here. But again, I don't think he'd be the overwhelming favorite. I think he'd be, you know, but I do think he brings a lot to the table. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about this race not too long ago, and, you know, Tony Evers won by kind of being a pretty boring candidate. And I think he even said it in 2022 after he was reelected, saying, hey, boring wins. Maybe that's a path for Josh Call to a certain extent, too, because he's not exactly a super flashy attorney general trying to grab every headline he possibly can. He's more in the background doing the work type of guy. Mm-hmm. So I do think, you know, there will be voters who respond to that, too. And in this time of like chaos and Trump and whatever, having calm, sane, competent leadership is, I think, what people liked out of Tony Evers, and that could be a path for Josh Call as well.
A name that has come up the past couple of days here has been Missy Hughes, the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and she considered a run for 3rd District Congress in 2022. But in much the same way David Crawley is not well-known outside of Milwaukee, I don't know that Missy Hughes is well-known outside of certain business and political circles, and so she, too, will have to, first off, if she decides to, get in early and do a lot to build up her name ID, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, her name does keep coming up in these potential candidate lists and all of that. And because the list as of late in the early going here, has leaned pretty heavily into Madison and Milwaukee area politicians, I think it's good to have somebody from outside the two major cities in the state running for this. But again, yeah, it would be a real challenge for her name ID wise. But I'm very interested to see what she does next, because the WEDC has undergone a pretty big transformation. You know, I was a business news reporter in much of the 2010s, covering a lot of what Scott Walker's administration was doing. Things I covered projects like Foxconn when I was at the Milwaukee Business Journal. We all know how that one went. And I think the WEDC, like post-COVID, had this really big focus on small business and bringing small businesses back after the pandemic. And so there is a record to run on there. But, you know, again, the name ID question would be a challenging one.
I don't want to give short shrift to the others, but we want to make mention of others' names in the mix. State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, State Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, former State Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, even Dane County Executive Melissa Agard or State Senator Brad Paff could all be in the mix as well. The Republican field, we know about Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, businessman Bill Berrien. There's been all this talk about Congressman Tom Tiffany or State Senate President Mary Felskowski. Other names out there include former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish. And here's my one surprise, it was surprising to me, was that people are trying to recruit former Congressman and Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy to make a run. I got less than a minute before the break here for you to tell me, do you have any names I haven't mentioned that could theoretically be a surprise candidate on that list?
I don't have any beyond what you said there. I had one really funny reply in my Twitter mentions when I was talking about candidates. Somebody said David Gruber should run for governor. One call, that's all. For governor.
Oh, gosh. Could you see that? Then, of course, Russell Nicolay. What a primary that would be. You know,
the personal injury attorney primary.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And again, therecombobulationarea.news is how you can sign up for the newsletter. A local update is next for some of you. And if so, I will see you tomorrow morning at 6. For the rest of you, some final news and notes here from Lake Wissota coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
To everyone who believes a good meal can always be made even better, come try our new chicken sandwiches at Culver's.
We're talking juicier chicken with crispier breading, and it's all served on a buttery brioche bun and topped with crisp dill pickles, creamy mayo, and fresh lettuce and tomato. You're sure to enjoy your first bite and every bite after that.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
All eyes will be on the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters as they become the Central Wisconsin Mashers in tribute to all the potato farming brings to our area. Join them for their annual Mashers Night on Friday, August 1st. Don't miss your chance to win one of the specialty jerseys in their silent auction presented by Food and Farm Exploration Center and McCain's Foods. Gather your family and head on down to historic Winterfield for this spudtastic game as the Rafters try to mash the Lakeshore Chinooks. First pitch at 6:35, but the fun lasts all evening.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle-numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%, 25%, or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect, you just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years. And we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Down to this or it comes down to that when it comes to these things or something. And each one of them are certainly different. But when it comes to like the promoting of young people or their helping of young people and stuff, that's a consistent thing throughout pageants. And it's really cool to hear that about this one in particular, where even if you've done your homework, chances are you're listening to another contestant. You might learn something about a different region or a different part of the culture, which is kind of a great way of teaching without teaching, you know, and really sharing of information without overly sharing it or something. That part is really cool. I love the questionnaire part of this. You're probably even used to the one question.
Yes.
And prepping for that. Was it more stressful or more fun that way?
I will be 100% honest, it is a little more stressful because We have one CROI question. We have one question that's altered from our application that we bring to them. And then the last question is a history question about the Czech Republic and Slovakia. So one of the questions would be, when did the Velvet divorce happen?
Right. Wow.
And I have to memorize. They do help us in the beginning, our pageant director. She helps us with the questions saying, like, these are the questions that probably will be asked and that you should probably study. So
thankful for that.
Yeah.
Shout out to all them. They appreciate all the help with those.
Yes.
Really cool. So with all of that said, I imagine, you know, there are plenty of things that you might have known just growing up and learning it from your family and stuff. But doing some homework and some of that, did you come across, enjoy that part of it? Enjoy the learning part of this?
I really did. I made a Quizlet for the questions.
Nice.
So I just mix and match them and played the games, and it was fine. It was great.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. And I love situations like this where, and congratulations to you again for winning, and we're really proud of you and really happy for you and rooting for you, but you really can't lose in a situation like this where you come into it with all of that. You're in the camaraderie that you and the contestants have. That's always noteworthy too, making friends and everything. Did you have fun doing that?
Yeah, it was great. And I love my little siblings. And with the Queens Royal Court, I have a girlfriend on there, and we were great. We just hang out all weekend, and I think she's supposed to come down this summer. So it's also about making those friendships as well.
You know, and I know I've brought this up before, and I will end until the end of time. You know, we don't have enough things where we have opportunities for young women, supporting young women, making new friends, having those situations more and more in our society, and giving more an opportunity for that and supporting those kind of things. It's a great time and a great cause for that regard. And certainly the festival is fun. The sharing of culture is a great time, too. There is also the scholarships and how impactful that is. And I'd like to think, no matter who's out there listening or how you feel about pageantry, the scholarship part brings us all together. We all agree on that. And that's a great opportunity, not only for young people, but for us as a society to feel like, hey, we're supporting the future here. There's nothing better we can invest in, whether it's our time or our dollars and cents, than the future. And pageantries like this that award scholarships. So that part is certainly noteworthy, right?
100%. I got scholarship dollars last year as well. Being first princess, and with the talent, we forgot to talk about the talent. I forgot, but no worries.
I got you going another direction. I'm sorry.
No worries. I was a singer this year, and I sang "Aya Vaka Devochka," which is a song in Slovak that I sang. So I had won the talent last year, but I also had brought that talent back again this year, and I won the talent portion. So there was a lot of scholarship dollars added on top of that when I did win, and I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't get those opportunities, and a lot of people, maybe they do pageants, but they don't continue with them. Yeah. And I really encourage people or women to continue with those pageants, to get those scholarship dollars. I feel like everyone deserves an education and a right to go to college.
Well said, and appreciate you noting that. And also, incredible pronunciation. Very well done with the accent. Everything right there. Like, I can see why you crowned you. Yeah. I'd have given it to you alone off of that. Since being crowned, what's that been like? What have you been up to?
So I've done a few events this year. I've done a few parades, the Vesper Day Parade, the 4th of July Parade in Pittsville. I was just over at an event in Milwaukee yesterday, at the Croatian Park, and it was like the Croatian Park, and there was dancers. I just made an appearance. I was there just checking it out, and it was great. Again, my parents also set up a vendor down there, so I was just down there all day talking to people, making connections, eating good food. Halushki was great down there. And awesome. I can't wait to go back.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Throughout all of this, too, the audience doesn't even have to be in the room with us. They can tell the energy, the excitement you have, and how much the pride you have in this. And we're really proud of you and proud for you about it. It's been great. Do you have anything coming up we wanted to tease and let the audience know about?
So next week, I am going to Wilbur, Nebraska. I am going to watch Nationals. And yes, that is where Nationals takes place. Mm-hmm. And right now, our national queen is Trinity Pesco, and she is from Wisconsin. So we are representing twice by the USA Queen and the V. So,
awesome.
And then our queen from last year, Megan, she is going to compete this year to try to win the USA title. So I'm just getting my feet wet and going down there to watch the national pageant to see what to expect next year.
Which is great experience for that and great chance to take some notes in your head and everything when it comes to that. But also going to be a fun event just to take in and support her. And we are cheering her on as well, Megan, and are rooting for her. And we'll be keeping an eye on that. And you guys will have to come back, let us know how it went and everything. And I have no doubt you're not only going to have a good time, but go on to do great things. I enjoy every time you come in, Maya. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And congratulations again. Good luck with everything. Let us know if you need help moving. Okay? It's a big project sometimes. Yeah. I've moved a lot in my life. But no one knows. So you know what it's like. You know.
Very early in the morning at 8 a.m.
Thank you for the time, Maya. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
Congratulations again. And congratulations to all your friends and family and everybody that helped you get here, too. I should mention as well that it takes everybody. So, congrats.
It does. Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic here at WFHR.com.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Mayor Eric Adams tells CBS News the suspect in last night's deadly shooting at a New York City office tower was targeting the National Football League.
He appeared to have blamed the NFL for his injury. The NFL headquarters is located in the building at 345 Park Avenue.
Adams says the suspect took the wrong elevator bank. Four people were killed, including a police officer and a mother of two who was a senior managing director at the financial firm Blackstone. The mayor says the gunman killed himself.
We have strong gun laws here, but many of our neighboring states have lax gun laws. This person appears to have had a SEAL permit, even with his mental health challenges.
Former Deputy NYPD Commissioner Richard Esposito.
The most difficult people to stop are lone actors like this. You don't know they're coming.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deb.